say I belong to you. Apart from the things I do, you say I belong to you. I'm in awe of why you do, why you do, why you do. I'm in awe of you.
This is Corey from Bible Baptist Church in West Union, Ohio. You're listening to Here's Hope with Pastor Tim Carter. Let's listen to the message.
I'm a firm believer in memorizing Scripture. And if you just need to make this progression, all right? It's one thing to hear the Word of God, but if all you're getting as a Christian is you're just coming and once a week you hear a guy for an hour or two preach a message, but that, listen, that's entry level. Now, the Bible does say that faith comes by hearing, but in hearing by the Word of God. So that will build your faith if you hear it consistently enough and if the preaching is on point with what God wants. But the second step is that you need to begin to read the Bible for yourself. And then you move from reading the Bible to studying the Scripture. This is progression in Christian maturity. From being a person that hears the Word of God to being a person that not only hears it but reads it. You hear it, read it, and you study it to show yourself approved unto God. And then you meditate on the Word of God. That means to sit and to mull over or to think over something in your mind and think about the application. To study it and then to process this in your mind. What does that mean? What's it say, right? What's it say? What does it mean? How does it apply to me? That's the meditation and thinking about God's Word. And then to memorize the Word of God. And one of the things that I've learned to do years ago is in areas where I was struggling or in areas where I think, you know, God really laid a verse on my heart that was a good verse for me at the time or that I need to put back in my memory so I don't sin against God, to begin to memorize the Word of God. One of those verses for me is in the book of Lamentations, and honestly, the saddest book. The most uncomfortable book in all the Bible is Song of Solomon. And those of you that have read Song of Solomon, you know what I'm talking about. The saddest book in the Bible is the book of Lamentations. The nation of Israel had gone away from God. The northern kingdoms had been dispersed. God had sent a prophet to the southern kingdom, or the two tribes of Judah, to warn them. His name was Isaiah. And through Isaiah, God said, you must turn around. You must turn around. 100 years later, when they had not turned around, God sent the weeping prophet, or Jeremiah. And Jeremiah said, you know, it's here. In fact, in the beginning of Jeremiah's ministry, and just by way of reference, because I think it's important to have some teaching along with some preaching, because you can preach something with emphasis, but if people don't understand the application. So just hold your hand there in Lamentations, right? Lamentations is the book that immediately follows the book of Jeremiah, where it is the lamenting of the prophet. But when you turn back to chapter number 1, you wonder how long or what this purpose was. Chapter number 1. Verse 5, God told Jeremiah, he said, Before I formed you in the belly, I knew you, I knew thee. Before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Talking about a calling of God on a person's life. And I believe God has a purpose for every one of us. Jeremiah's purpose was prophet. Jeremiah said in verse 6, I'm a child, I can't speak. God said in verse 7, don't say you're a child. Verse 8, he said, be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand, touched my mouth, and the Lord said unto me, behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. See, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out, to pull down, to destroy, to throw down, and then to build and to plant. So his message was not going to be popular. He was going to be hated, despised. But it was a message that judgment was coming. That the judgment of God was just and it was fair. And Jeremiah was still alive and preaching in the day when they came in, Nebuchadnezzar's Babylon came in, took over Jerusalem, Judah, took over Jerusalem, hauled off people into captivity like Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And it was bad days. It was really bad days. When God's, you know, and let's just talk about America for a second. God has been so patient with us. And what you'll find with God is that he is very loving. He is very long-suffering. He is very merciful. He's very gracious. He repenteth him of the evil. In other words, he wants people to turn around so that he doesn't have to fulfill his promise of what he said that he would do. But what you also need to know about God is, behold the goodness and the severity of the Lord. And when God quits being, when he said that's it, God can be very severe and in his judgment. And the nation of Israel, Judah, felt the severity of God. That God, for so long, he sent so many prophets saying, turn around, turn around, turn around, turn around. He's doing that in America right now. I'm not a prophet, man. I'm just a preacher. But there are guys like me all over America right now saying, we have to turn around. Concerns me that Billy Graham is so old and not able to do ministry anymore, because I'm not seeing who the next Billy Graham is in America. And when one of the things that if you begin to study the scriptures that is deeply concerning is that when God begins to take the righteous people out of a land, it's in preparation for a judgment. So I dread the next generation that may not have a Billy Graham and preachers that really preach the Word of God. And we're watering down the Word of God all over the place in our churches, Baptists included. And so Jeremiah knows what it's like. He knows what it's like when the judgment of God fell upon Judah. I keep calling it Israel, but it was Israel, but it was Judah, the southern two tribes. And he knows what the conditions were like. He saw it, and thus the Book of Lamentations. Chapter 1 of the Book of Lamentations, he begins describing the events that have taken place. Verse 8, he says, Jerusalem has grievously sinned. Therefore, she has removed all that honored her, despise her, because they have seen her nakedness. In other words, they saw what she is like as a nation. Yea, she sighed and turned back. Her filthiness is in her skirts. She remembered not her last end. Therefore, she came down wonderfully. She had no comforter. O Lord, behold my affliction, for the enemy has magnified himself. He begins to describe the conditions in the land. When you get to chapter number 3, he begins to describe what he has gone through personally and how they have been after him. And chapter 3, verse number, let's go at 38. Out of the Most High proceeds not evil and good, ? Wherefore does a living man complain? There is no doubt complaining about the terrible conditions of the day. He said, wherefore does a living man complain? A man for the punishment of his sins. Why would a guy do that? Let us search and try our ways and turn again to the Lord. Let us lift up our hearts with our hands unto God in the heavens. We have transgressed and have rebelled. Thou hast not pardoned. Why had God not pardoned? Because they had transgressed and rebelled, but they weren't sorry for it. So, consequently, when we're not asking for forgiveness, God is not obligated to give forgiveness. And so he's not pardoned. Thou hast covered with anger and persecuted us. Thou hast slain, thou hast not pitied, thou hast covered thyself with a cloud, that our prayer should not pass through. Thou hast made us as the offscouring and the refuse in the midst of the people. All our enemies have opened their mouths against us. Fear and a snare has come upon us, desolation and destruction. My eye runs down with rivers of water for the destruction of the daughter of my people. Mine eye trickles down, he says, and it ceaseth not without any intermission. You think about these events of the day that this prophet looked, and everywhere he looked, there was just such utter destruction and ruin that continually it just seems like weeping over this. Verse 50, till the Lord looked down and behold from heaven. Then in verse 51, and here's the verse. Mine eye affecteth, it affects my heart. Mine eye affecteth my heart. Because of all the daughters of my city, mine enemies chase me sore like a bird without cause. They have cut off my life in the dungeon and cast a stone upon me. Look how they treated the prophet of God. Waters flowed over my head. Then I said, I am cut off. And I called upon thy name, O Lord, out of the low dungeon. Thou hast heard my voice. Hide not thine ear at my breathing, at my cry. We learn from these circumstances that the thing that will get your heart is to look with your eyes. Mine eye affects my heart. And one of the reasons that we can sit sometimes so comfortably in our churches today in America, in our church world, and sometimes so completely unaware, it seems, of what's going on outside these walls, is that we're not looking. Because if we would really be looking, if we would really see what's really going on in the real world that we live in, it would, if we were close to the Lord, it would bring our hearts to a great point of grief. And Jeremiah said, mine eye, it affects my heart when I look out and I see what's going on, when I see what they're going through, when I see what they're suffering with, when I see these events, mine eye affects my heart. In fact, this kind of the basic principle of this whole, in a sense, look not series is that when we are looking upon things, it will affect our heart. One way or another, when we truly look at things, not just look past or look over, overlook, but to look, when we really look at what's going on, it will affect our hearts. Now, turn if you would to the book of Ezekiel. You're in the book of Lamentations, just to the right. One book is the book of Ezekiel, chapter number 34. Ezekiel is an exile prophet. And Ezekiel speaking about what's going on in the day, what the events, not only were like, but what had actually happened to God's people. And when God's people, one of the great problems, even in America, that we're experiencing, and I put this on me and many other preachers in our country, is that when the preachers, the pastors are not what they ought to be, it greatly affects God's people. And so in chapter 34, verse number 1, we lay this groundwork to understand that events that take place in a country that most people don't see or don't care about. So look at this, chapter 34, verse number 1. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God unto the shepherds, woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? And the answer is yes. And God's like, you know, I put shepherds there among my people, and those shepherds had the responsibility of feeding my flock. And I think this is not only spiritually, but there's also shepherds, I believe, that God puts in charge of us as a nation that are responsible for taking care of God's people. But the problem is, when the shepherds, this change that takes place in a culture and in a people, that when the shepherds begin to look at the people as something to support and take care of them, rather than them being there for the sheep. And it's a bad event that takes place. He said, ye eat the fat. They would kill the sheep, and ye clothe ye with the wool. Ye kill them that are fed, but you feed not the flock. The diseased have you not strengthened, neither have you healed that which was sick, neither have you bound up that which was broken, neither have you brought again that which was driven away, neither have you sought that which was lost, but with force and with cruelty have you ruled them. And the result in verse number 5 is, they were scattered. God's sheep were scattered. In fact, when Jesus Christ is going to come on the scene and he's going to lift up his eyes and look on the multitudes, he's going to see the spiritual condition that they're in. Scattered. And I think that we could fairly say that that type of an event has taken place, that if we went around in the neighborhoods and began to knock on people's doors and to find out, where are all of God's people at? And I think we could say even in our culture today that many of them are scattered. Scattered because the shepherds have not strengthened the disease. They haven't healed that which was sick. They haven't bound up that which was broken. They haven't brought again that which was driven away. Because they haven't sought that which was lost, but have ruled with force and with cruelty. And they were scattered. God's sheep were scattered because there is no shepherd. And they became meat to all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. My sheep wandered through all the mountains and upon every high hill. Yea, my flock was scattered upon all the face of the earth, and none did search or seek after them. Therefore, ye shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, saith the Lord God, surely because my flock became a prey, and my flock became meat to every beast of the field, because there was no shepherd, neither did my shepherd search for my flock, but the shepherds fed themselves and fed not my flock. Therefore, O ye shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my flock at their hand, and cause them to cease from feeding the flock. Neither shall the shepherds feed themselves anymore, for I will deliver my flock from their mouth, that they may not eat, not be meat for them. For thus saith the Lord God, behold, I, even I, will both search my sheep and seek them out, as a shepherd seeks out his flock. In the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep and will deliver them out of all places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. He says, I will bring them, verse number 13, I will feed them in a good pasture, verse 14, verse number 15, I will feed my flock and will cause them to lie down, saith the Lord. I will seek that which was lost and bring again that which was driven away, and will bind up that which was broken, will strengthen that which was sick, but I will destroy the fat and the strong. I will feed them with judgment. He's going to seek because they've been scattered. And so it's in light of those events that mine eye affects my heart, that when you see the true condition, when you see things as they really are, that your eye cannot help but affect your heart. In chapter number 9 of the book of Matthew, turn there with me, please, if you would. God's promise that he would bring his sheep and he would regather his sheep, and that he would go seek and that he would bind up and that he would restore his sheep was ultimately fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Chapter number 9 of the book of Matthew, as Jesus is looking out upon the cities and the people. In fact, in chapter 9 of Matthew, verse number 35, he says these words, and Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Wouldn't that be awesome? Teaching in their synagogues. Not just in the major cities, but in the villages, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, now he's going about in verse number 35, and he's healing people and healing diseases. But when, verse number 36, he saw not the multitude, but the multitudes, plural. When he looks out upon the multitudes of people, he just sees this thing as it really is. A people scattered, broken, hurt, wounded, lost. And when he saw the multitudes, now watch, mine eye affects my what? Heart. Mine eye affects my heart. Mine eye affects my heart. If you can walk away with one thing today, walk away with this. Mine eye affects my heart. And when we look and we see things as they really are, not as we imagine them to be, but when we see things as they really are and the need that is really there, it will affect our heart. And God knows this. When Jesus saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and they were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. And so then Jesus' response to that is this. Then saith he unto the disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are what? Are few. And then he says, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Now one of the big issues in the book of John chapter 4, and for the sake of time, he says this to his guys. Say not ye, don't say, there are yet 4 months before the harvest. And he says, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. There's a couple of things that get in the way of us doing what God told us to do. He said, number one, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest. Jesus is like, I can look up and I can look over the multitudes and I can see that there is real need here. And that it's not a day when the harvest is not in. The harvest is in. The need is there. They're all over the place. They're scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. And the response to this is, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send laborers into his fields. And the response is that we should have this sense, this need that the harvest is ready, and that we would see that God needs to provide for us in by way of people the ability to be able to reach the needs of so many that are in need. But that need is met based upon the response of God's people to the need and the call of God. And if we don't see it, because our eye affects our heart, if you are struggling to see and to find ministry, I would challenge you with this. This Tuesday evening at 7 o'clock, show up here. If you can't find ministry, and you can't find anything that God wants you to do in this place, in this county, in this world, show up here at 7 o'clock and we'll load up in some vans and we'll drive down to Manchester and we'll drive up into West Union and let's walk around some of these areas of Manchester and West Union and let's open up our eyes and see that there is need all over. We could drive to Blue Creek. We could drive over to Decatur. We could drive to Aberdeen or Ripley or Seaman or Winchester. We could drive to any town, Peebles, and walk around starting at about 7 o'clock in the evening. It doesn't get dark till about 9. Walk around the towns and get your eyes open and see that there is need all over the place. What we do, though, is we have our sealed-up houses and we insulate our lives and we get focused upon ourselves and our own comfortable existence and we fail to see the need that is right outside of our own door. Lift up your eyes. That's a command from God. And look on the fields. Don't say the harvest isn't ready yet. I'm telling you, it's white already to harvest. The need is there. What we need are people that see the need, and we need laborers to fulfill the need. And then in Philippians chapter number 2, and then I'll be done. Philippians chapter number 2. Philippians chapter number 2. Mine eye affects my heart. I get in that office, I get caught up doing paperwork. There's plenty of administration stuff and planning that needs to be done. There's all kinds of stuff. The phone rings, and there's... And one thing that happens to me is I quit being out there. When I'm in that office, inside those walls, nose to the grindstone, doing paperwork, making calls, making plans. It's easy enough to forget about the real need. Sit in my office, do paperwork, take care of that kind of stuff, administrate, go home, stay at my house, mow my grass, pet the dogs, talk to my family, and forget about something very important. Philippians chapter 2. Here's the look not. Look not every man on his own things. Now, it doesn't say that that's wrong to look upon your own things. It's just wrong in the context of, but every man also on the things of others. Albert Barnes says it this way. I like the way he says it. What it says in Philippians 2:4 is, don't be selfish. Don't let your care and attention be wholly absorbed by your own concerns or by the concerns of your own family. Be concerned about the whole. No one is at liberty to live for himself or to disregard the wants of others. The object of this rule in Philippians 2:4 is to break up the narrow-sighted spirit of selfishness and to produce the benevolent regard for the happiness of others. One of the six, what I think are kind of like the great look nots in the scriptures is, don't get so self-absorbed. And this is easy to do in our culture. It's easy to do. It's easy to get our mind on our own work, on our own family, and our own responsibilities, and to forget that there's a world full of people out there that are in need. And listen, and we're overwhelmed with problems. And sometimes, largely because we have too much time to sit around and think about our own. When I'm busy helping others, I don't have time to sit around and think about sometimes my own misery. God takes care of me. My responsibility is to be what I can be to the Lord and be what I can be to help other people. It's not that I'm called not to ever take care of my own stuff. Sometimes I do. Sometimes the grass needs mowed. My wife needs attention. We sometimes need to go spend time together. My kids need to see me. We spent last night, the girls and son-in-laws and grandbabies came over and we got in the swimming pool and we spent about an hour or so before the storms came in and in the giant whirlpool, you know, and we're all going in circles and we're laughing and the grandbabies are, and then it starts raining and then it starts storming and we had to get out. And that was a nice time. It was a nice time. I wouldn't trade that for anything in the world. But what about the sheep? What about God's sheep? What about God's? Does anybody care about God's sheep? And are the only people in our culture that care about God's sheep preachers or people that think they're going to get something out of them? Does anybody care anymore about the broken, the battered, the scattered, the lost?
You've been listening to Here's Hope, a ministry of Bible Baptist Church. Check us out online at hearshope.org. You can contact us by writing to Bible Baptist Church, P.O. Box 487, West Union, Ohio 45693, or by calling us at 937-544-1818. If you don't already attend another church, we'd love for you to give us a try. Thanks for listening, and we hope you have a great week.
You say I belong to you. Apart from the things I do, you say I belong to you. I